Hi, I'm Randy Fay.
And I'm Nancy Lewis.
And we're here to bring you another Hobo Biker podcast. We are tonight in San Cristobal de las Casas in the state of Chiapas, which is the southernmost state of Mexico. I'm pretty sure we're only about 80 miles from Guatemala now.
After riding from the coast, warm coast, of western Mexico and up into the mountains of Chiapas, we've decided to take a break and enjoy the nice cool climate here in San Cristobal and attend Spanish school.
Nancy was, when we were riding along the coast, we rode through the Oaxaca Mountains, good solid mountain riding. It was hot, but not so hot when we were up in the mountains. Most of it was high enough that it was not so hot. When we came down to the coast, Nancy was like, "Oh, I am burning up." It was humid and adequately hot. It wasn't that hot, but it was adequate. It was plenty hot enough for Nancy. She's putting on a big something on her face.
I'm going to tell you differently how it was. Here we are, okay, riding in the coast of Mexico. It's June. It's humid. It's sunny, very, very sunny. And to be riding in that climate in the middle of summer in Mexico is not ideal athletic weather. So we decided to head up to the mountains, and the temperature degrees about 20 or 30 degrees different. And not so much humidity. So
you'd be surprised. We're at about 7,000 feet, about 2,200 meters or no, 20, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. Sometimes it's cold. It rains in the afternoons. Usually it's sunny in the morning. It's about 55 degrees Fahrenheit when we get up in the morning. And maybe it gets up to 70 or so. And then it starts to rain and it goes back down into the 60s. Kind of a cool rain, but it's a shockingly different climate than we had down on the coast.
So on the way to San Cristobal, we stopped at Tuxtla, and there's two noticeable aspects of Tuxtla. One is the incredible zoo that has every kind of animal from the state of Chiapas, including endangered ones, birds, mammals. It's just phenomenal. I thought it was similar to the San Diego Zoo, but more in a more wild setting. Very much enjoyed that. The other one was the little taxis, and they're called colectivos. They are so obnoxious, and the horn beeping and the passing, and of all the cities we've been, it was the most difficult to ride a bicycle in, and I was just like, I'm so glad to be out of there, but I don't know, maybe that's training for other places, but we survived it. And on Sunday, we started climbing up to San Cristobal, and it was an amazing day.
We climbed the biggest climb of our whole trip, by far. We started out at, maybe we were on the road by about 6:30 in the morning, and we climbed 6,200 feet, almost 2,000 meters, from Tuxtla Gutierrez all the way up to San Cristobal. It was just one long grind. It was perfectly even. The grade was the same all the time. We were on the We rode it on the autopista, like an interstate highway. It was extremely well built. It goes up, basically up a steep mountain grade. It just goes straight up, straight up, straight up, straight up, 6,200 feet, all the way up the side of the cliff for 6,200 feet. Biggest climb that we've ever done together.
So after that climb, it was time to take a week's break. So that's when we decided Monday morning, okay, that we should attend school. So we checked out a bunch of schools here, and we ended up picking the Español Interactivo School. One of the advantages of going to that school is, of course, the language and also the field trips. So far this week, and today's only Thursday, we've had salsa dancing. We got to go to Lucha Libre, which is the similar to the United States WWF wrestling, important Mexican culture. And we went to on a field trip to an Indian village very near here. Randy will tell you a little bit about that.
So that's what we really wanted to tell you about in this podcast. We went to the town of San Juan Chamula, which is just a little bit outside of San Cristobal, but it's a world of difference from any place we've ever been. You get to the town, and it's just another town like so many that we've been to. It's got a pretty church, and it's got a plaza in the middle of the town, and it's got the municipal offices around the town and everything like that. Just what you'd expect. But they let you go into the church, and it's a pretty church.
The outside of the church reminds me of an embroidered shirt. Here, the Indian women are fine craftsmen, weaving and embroidering. So the paint on the outside of the church is painted with flowers, big flowers and green trim and yellow trim, even machete stuffed birds that are laced with flowers hang above the entrance. It's just so incredibly, almost like a gingerbread house entering into it. And one of the things that's really important is that you cannot take pictures of the people in this town, okay, or inside the church. You can take a picture of the church, but they're very, very shy. And on entering, as we entered into the church, the guard made sure that we put away our cameras. And as we entered into the church, it was like entering into another world.
This is a Catholic church, of course, but it hasn't had a mass in it for nearly 40 years. I guess they sent the Catholics packing a long, long time ago. And they've been practicing their longtime religion exclusively in the church. Well, they always have, but it's been exclusive for the last 40 years or so. But the whole church is, and there's no pews or anything, there's no altar or anything. There are, what would you say, dozens of saints in little boxes all around. The most important is not Jesus, it's St. John the Baptist. So when you get up to the front of the church and you find the place of the most important place, it's San Juan. It's St. John the Baptist that's up there at the far front of the church. It's amazing. Jesus is one of the other gods who is to be prayed to, but not the primary god.
And all along the sides, okay, in these glass containers or cupboards with glass fronts, are the saints. And they're women and men, and they have their name written on them, and these cases are maybe 3 feet high, and they have little porcelain sculptures or dolls of these saints. And it lines the whole church.
Santo Tomas, San Antonio,
Santa Marta,
San Mateo Tadeus.
and these are basically their spirits, okay, their gods. There's not just one, but they all help these people, the indigenous people here, with their everyday lives.
And all over the entire floor of the it's quite a large church. All over the entire floor are piles of pine boughs or pine needles, which are used in some of the ceremonies that they do there. It's just all over the place. And there's hundreds, maybe thousands of candles lit on the floor, on the tables. I think it might be thousands.
Yeah, it has to be. And it's almost like little stations. And each of the saints, there's not each of them, but on, well, let's say a dozen of the saints, there's a small group of individuals, it could be one, two, three, four, sitting doing a religious ceremony, lighting candles, chanting, all on their knees, with or without shoes, in the traditional clothes of the people here, which is, for the shamans, they wear a white tunic that's made out of very, very rough sheep wool, and the women wear black wool skirts, very not refined at all because it's cold right now, and with silk purple and green blouses with some kind of shawl on top. And everyone's on their knees, sitting on the pine needles with, you know, anywhere from one candle to 200 small little candles, and they're lighting and they're, you know, in some kind of, on a mantra, praying for whatever their needs are.
Now, Nancy refers to them as shamans, which is what outsiders would call them, but they refer to themselves as indigenous doctors. And the people and the organization that promotes this call themselves indigenous doctors, or médicos indígenas. And they're actually doing curing ceremonies for the people of the village. And so you see somebody who has a sickness or a problem, and a shaman there helping them. And they have all these different candles lined up, lots and lots of candles on the floor. And the candles are of different colors. Each color has a specific meaning. And the candles cost different amounts and are of different sizes. We saw one guy that had, how many candles did he have? He had 150 candles lined up in two files, two lines or something like that. It was huge.
All different colors.
On the floor. He mm-hmm. was setting them all up. They were all on the floor. It looked like he was going to set off a bomb or something. It was mm-hmm. a fuse for a bomb or something. Mm-hmm. And they're making sounds like, maybe like in a Pentecostal church, like somebody speaking in tongues. But they actually speak the Tzotzil language, so that probably sounds to us like somebody in a Pentecostal church speaking in mm-hmm. tongues.
Mm. And they put these candles right on the tile. Okay, there's no protection. It's not on a piece of glass or anything else like that. And there's these pine boughs everywhere. And so you have, you know, thousands of candles burning. But people are sitting in front of the candles, and as the candles melt and go on to the floor and all the wax is spreading, it's really important for them to let the burning go all the way down until it goes out, because this is for the spirit, okay? And that the spirit has to basically have experienced the whole process of the burning out. And through the burning out, okay, and through this process, they're going to basically get rid of the evil spirits. They have, okay, bottles of Coca-Cola in front of these candles, and they may take the Coke, and shaman or the medical doctors may sprinkle or spit Coca-Cola or this special alcohol that's made in the area called Posh.
The fermented cane juice.
Posh. And they'll actually, you know, spit that on the person that's sick, and this is going to scare away or frighten the spirits. And perhaps belching. A belch is a real good thing, because that also releases the bad spirits. And so all of these people are sitting here offering Coca-Cola, candles, prayer. You know, when I walked in, I felt it was very, very spiritual. You hear all these different people talking and just praying together with their families and their community. And it was a really a wonderful experience just to stand and pause and to listen, to feel, to smell the whole environment that was going on. It was something that I'm very grateful to be able to have experienced.
One of the groups had a chicken that was used in the ceremony. They passed the chicken over the body of the person who's trying to be healed, and then they may or may not sacrifice the chicken afterwards. The chicken mm-hmm. is used to suck the bad things out of the person.
As a follow-up, we went to the local Mayan Medicine Museum and got more information about the religion, the culture, the practices of the local people. And one of the things that we did is that they had a pharmacy. And in the back of the complex here, we went and saw the pharmacist. And we were really curious, because you could, any ailment you could get, they had a plant or a combination of plants. Randy went and explained in Spanish, okay, that Nancy had a woman ailment, that did he have anything to solve it? And he went back and came back with six bags of dried plant, okay, and inside the dried plants were basically, or the inside the bags were dried dandelions and white nettle. I can now take this product for the next 6 days, okay, and never have another ailment. So how I will prepare these dried herbs is I will take a liter of water, put the herbs into the water, stir it, shake it for 6 minutes, strain out the herbs, and for the next 6 days, three times a day, I will drink a cup of this herbal tea, and I will never have another woman ailment in my whole life. It's amazing, and this has only cost 30 pesos, which is equal to $3 US. So I'm all for it if I never have to have another woman ailment right
now.
Oh,
and not only that, but you're going to be more comfortable in hot weather.
Yes, exactly. So I just, anything that ails you, I'm sure we could have gone and asked the pharmacist there, and he would have gone back and got something and given us the product for a very cheap price, you know, $2 to... male baldness. You can get shampoo and it will cost you $3.50, but it will prevent male baldness. So I was going to send that to my brother.
So the two herbs that they gave Nancy, the one is a dried preparation of dandelion, and that's half of what she has to take. And the other half is, we think it's a white nettle. Well, anyway, we wanted to let you know about our trip to San Juan Chamula and bring you up to date on where we are. We're in the throes of deciding whether we're going to spend another week here going to school, because Nancy especially is getting particularly good instruction at the Español Interactivo, and she's enjoying it and she's coveting this cool weather. So we're in the throes of doing that, but we're going to be in Guatemala before you know it. That's going to be amazing, crossing into another country. Anyway, we wish you all well, and thank you so much for following along with us. And we would love to hear from you anytime. Please let us know if you enjoyed the podcast. Send us a note, encourage us a little bit, and we appreciate it very much. Bye-bye.
Hasta luego. Adios.